point to that for us is to make sure that we make room for God in our lives. That comes in all different forms. How we devote ourselves to God, how we spend time with Him, how we are in His Word, how we're doing all these different types of things, okay? And serving Him, make room for God. Are we all settled down and ready to go? Okay, dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this morning. I thank you for each person that's here. I thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be a light and a witness to our community last night, where your light cuts through the density of the darkness of the world that we live in. And I pray that you will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The title of today's message today is Battleship. I instantly went to the old Battleship game, but I didn't have time to set that up for children's emphasis, and we don't have time to play the game. So, you know, kind of a bum deal on that one. But the title, again, is Battleship. So we are to ask ourselves this question as to how much we're willing to make room for God actually involves being that much more in battle with spiritual warfare, right? I mean, the more we step up for God as He leads us, the more we can expect spiritual warfare. But praise God, what? The Holy Spirit is with us, and God has empowered us with all that we need to stand up for Him against the powers of darkness and evil, right? That's what the scripture says. Acts 1:8 tells us that He's given us everything that we need. We were at a meeting last Monday night, and somebody else quoted it. I don't know if Bob quoted it or somebody had quoted it, but I remember the quote because I remember it being said that, and it just hit me. I thought, well, that's a really good vision, imagery, if you will. The church has been on a cruise ship when it needs to be on a battleship. Now, if I was to say to you, the church needs to wake up, how many of us have heard that before? Haven't we? How many years have we been hearing evangelicals, evangelists, top-notch preachers, wake up, stop sleeping, all that stuff? We've heard it, so it's redundant. Wake up, right? But this picture of being on a cruise ship is one that really kind of defines many believers today, where it's a whole lot easier to be on a cruise ship than it is to be on the battleship of God. So this part of that way could be the cruise ship features are stay at home and read your Bible and don't go anywhere, right? Or if you can get out and go to church, you should be going to church. That's part of being God's people, coming together and worshiping God together. And then on top of that, then you might come to church and you're going to all agree with me. How many have heard this? We're your pew warmers. Have we heard that phrase over the years? Yeah. Well, God doesn't want us to be a pew warmer, but a pew warmer is one who says, I go to church, but all I want to do is just be ministered to. Now, there's a time that we need to be ministered to. There's a time that we need to be fed. There's a time when babes in Christ need that time to be ministered to. But there's also many times that God calls us to serve Him. And so on the cruise ship, we can say, I can stay home, lay back in my pajamas, relax and think about God. Or I can go to church and sit in a pew and just be ministered to. Or as a collective body of believers, we come to church and then we have the routine. Haven't you ever felt like church is a routine sometimes? Let's be honest. Sometimes it feels like routine. Sunday morning, time to get up. Time to go to church. Time to get ready. Ho, ho, let's go. And you know, in our scheduled church over the years has been, okay, 9 o'clock prayer time. We have a few people come for prayer time. Then we have coffee time with donuts, and we enjoy visiting with one another. And then after that, we have Sunday school. And then after that, we have church. And then that kind of wrapped up the day, except for the different programs or meetings throughout the rest of the week. And then to come back again, and here we are on Sunday, and we start the routine back up again. That's part of a collective cruise ship mentality. And let me explain that, because that's Satan keeping us inside the walls and not stepping out as God would necessarily have us to. Now, I'm not saying you're not being a witness. I'm not saying that that's not to be offensive. I'm saying, you know, as Christians, we come to church, we get fed, we learn, we share the truth of our faith in Jesus, our relationship with Jesus, as we ought to. But collectively as a church, if the church stays contained in the walls, who is one in carrying out the battleship orders of God's work? So Satan wants us to stay inside the walls and not do anything. We've, over the years, 20 years been here, we have done a lot of things. And God has done a lot of great work through us. But we kind of get kind of drugged down and tired sometimes. Because it takes energy, it takes commitment, it takes accepting the responsibility of the assignment that God sets in front of us. And so being on that spiritual cruise ship is a decision that's intentional. I intentionally decide that I'm not going to be on the battleship. But we also have to intentionally decide to be on the battleship. Now let me ask you, what does that battleship imagery is kind of confronting to you, isn't it? The battleship says you gotta gear up and you gotta face adversity and you've gotta sweat and bleed blood and do whatever and whatever it takes to serve on that battleship. But just think about that for a moment. Do they have a postal service on ships? Yeah. Are there postal workers in the ship? Yeah. Well, that doesn't seem too threatening, does it? No. But it's important because communication with family and friends and all that stuff is important, right? When you're in the military. Praise God for that. So here's a person that's serving in the postal department on the ship, right? Let me give you an example. And I'm not minimizing this by any means, but Joanne, last night, when we did our program last night to pass out candy to kids, you know, she was standing behind the boxes and just stayed there. And they had several people. Don, who's here, not here today, but he was passing out candy, not passing out, hooking the fishing hooks. They were the clothespins that hooked the bags of candy. And so Joanne was doing that, Don was doing that, Debbie and others, people that were in the distribution center of the candy were doing that. What's my point? My point is that kind of like postal service work on the ship. It's not that difficult and it's not that affronting. It's just a necessary service to be effective. So when God calls us to be on the battleship, it doesn't mean that you have to be on the front lines necessarily. It means God is saying, I'm intending for you to serve. Now here we have to ask another question. Now, if I serve in the church within the four walls of the church, then is that serving on the battleship? In a way, if you look at this metaphorically. But really what I'm really focusing on is what we do outside the walls for God's kingdom work. How we live our faith, how we share our relationship with Christ with others, how we are physically, actively involved in being a light that works and cuts through the darkness in the world we live in. Whether your personal witness or whether an activity that is set up for God's kingdom work. And so both, we have to intentionally make a decision. I'm intentionally saying I'm going to lay back and just enjoy the cruise ship and be fed. Or I'm going to be engaged on the battleship doing God's work as God calls me to do it. And that doesn't mean it has to be frightening and affronting. It means being where God would have you to be, doing what God would have you to do, even if it's, and more importantly, when it's outside the walls of the church. So having said that, and we ask this question, because it's a fair question. How do we get off the Christian cruise liner and board the Christian battleship? Here's the question that's fair to ask. Do you want to get off the cruise ship and do you want to get on the battleship? Because that's the intentional point of focus. I intentionally choose not to get engaged, and I intentionally do choose to get engaged. I intentionally choose to be involved in the activities of the church within the walls, but I intentionally choose not to be involved on the front lines out in the world cutting through darkness through my living testimony and conversation or ministries and activities that God has us to do. I don't say this to embarrass my father-in-law, but I'm so proud of him. You know, My father-in-law is 29 times, you fill in the mark, Dad. But he was out there standing all night with his fishing pole, you know? I was so proud of him and everybody else for what they did. But that was an intentional decision to say, I'm going to do it. Just like the rally that's coming up. It's an intentional opportunity for us to be outside the walls and to be a light cutting through darkness, representing Jesus in the world we live in. Praise God for that. And so how do we get off the Christian cruise liner? How do we board the Christian battleship? We need to do a few things. To get on the Christian battleship, we need to, one, focus our thoughts and be in the Word. Focus your thoughts and be on the Word. We have to have the right focus. You know, William was sharing with me this morning, he says, you know, if we focus on negativity, it's used of God, not of Satan, rather, to divert our focus from God. We have to intentionally keep our focus on God. That's an intentional warfare act. So focus our thoughts and be in the Word. Practice gratitude. That's number two. Being thankful will fine-tune our focus. If we find ourselves thanking God, are we more mindful of God? Yeah. And are we more joyful in God? Yeah. So we need to be practicing gratitude. Being thankful will fine-tune our life focus. Third, we need to do less stuff. It's like making room for my Bible in my suitcase. We need to make room in our lives for God. Because Satan, here's one of his great strategies. I'm going to make you so focused on what you need to do and all the stuff that you, quote, need to do, and fill your life so full that you won't have time to focus on me or serve me. And the reality is, here's the bottom line. We all decide what we want to do or not. We make the decision what we're going to do. Here's another reality. When we choose to do something we really want, we make the way to make it happen, don't we? So really, in reality, we have no excuse except our own decision on what we decide to do. Do less stuff. Focus on making room for God in your life. Reading, praying, those are the normal things. Being actively involved in serving, that's another thing. Stepping out and being bold in the public, whether as an individual or collectively as a body of believers, is being also on that front line. And be strategic. Focus on God's daily schedule for you to accomplish one task at a time. You know, when we feel overloaded, feel our life is too full, and we start seeing our focus coming off of God and more on all the things that we need to do, the way we fix that is we ask God, God, this is all the mess I got to deal with. Will you please prioritize my schedule for me today? I've done that. I said, Lord, I need you to prioritize it. Get it in the right order for me. And structure my day the way you want it to be. I guarantee you, if you do that, you'll be engaging in the things of God. You will be making room for God in your life. And you will be accomplishing the things that are the most important. And it will glorify God. So there's a big difference between being on a Christian luxury cruise liner and that of a Christian battleship. And our focus and comfort and ease and pleasure is the one. And the other one requires discipline that defends what? It defends the righteousness of God, but it engages in spiritual warfare. So we have to choose. The cruise line sounds great. I would love to have that time. Sometimes we need the repose. Sometimes Jesus needed to step aside and have some quiet time. We all need to have the refueling station, but it's not to be a continuous stop. It is there for the purpose of refueling to do what God would have us to do. And so the cruise liner, the luxury cruise liner, always reaches its final port. And you got to get off. You got to get off sometime. The battleship we're engaged in, and it is temporary, and it reaches its final point when God calls us home. What's the difference? Well, we can have the memory of a great cruise line experience, or we can have the joy of eternal victory in Christ. What do I mean by that? The rewards that God gives us, think about it. Just think. You're before God. You stand, each one of us has to stand before God. And he rewards you for your faithfulness and your love and your commitment to him. He rewards you for being on that battleship or stepping out on the front lines or stepping out of the box of comfort. All those things. He rewards you. Some of you, all of us will receive a crown of life that because we're saved. But he will reward you and honor you. And when we get that crown of life or we get those rewards, they're lustrous and glistening and bright. It's like my brand new Corvette. Man, they're really cool this year. And, you know, all that luster, but eventually the luster of that Corvette will wear off. But the victory that we have in Jesus, the honor, the glory, the reward, the luster, the joy, the fulfillment of that is never ending. It's not one moment. It carries through forever. So if we choose to be on the battleship here now, and we're willing to engage in the things that God would have us to do in the church and outside the church, where that's our battlefield, then we need to remember that no matter how difficult it is, God will honor us. Jesus stood before Pilate. All I care about is my Father's judgment of me, not yours or anybody else's. And that's our focus. Be concerned about God, our Heavenly Father's judgment of us. And when he rewards us, those rewards are lustrous and joyful and full and honorable, and they are eternal, lasting. They never lose their luster. That's the victory we have when we're on the battleship for Christ. God tells us about our duty and assignment on our battleship. I want to look at four things and then we're closed. John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. What is the day and what is the night? The day is the appointed time that you are alive and I am alive here on earth to do God's work. That's the day. The night is when, obviously, when light's out, this side of heaven, and we're in heaven, right? And so we have to appreciate the day that God has given us. Every day is a gift. And we're to ask God for the grace to live for him every day. And we're to ask God to help us to be in his will every day, accomplishing what he has for us to do. God has a precise assignment for each of us to fulfill. Maybe you're the postal worker on the ship. That's okay. Maybe you're the captain that is giving out the orders. That's okay. Whatever the case is, whatever assignment God has, we're to be faithful to it. And God will adjust the assignments and give us new assignments as we continue to grow in him. God has a plan for our life. We can plan our own way, and God has his way for us. That's the assignment. We know that in Proverbs 16:9, and then some other scriptures of 1 Corinthians 2:9, Psalm 138:8, Philippians 1:6 all refer to this. Number two, do not sleep or slumber on your watch. Remember, I opened up the message by saying, church, awake. Stop being asleep. We've heard it for how many years? I would venture to say more than a decade. We've heard that. It kind of resounds in our head. You say, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. But we don't necessarily back it up by our actions. Or at least the church at large doesn't seem to respond that way to it. And when I say at large, I'm not talking about our church in of itself alone. I'm talking about the church in the world seems to have gotten into a slumbering, sleeping state of mind. How many of you are aware of the parable that Jesus taught about the 10 virgins? Remember, the bridesmaids, the virgins, okay? How many of you? Raise your hand if you know. Okay, so here it goes. The engagement's already taken place. We're the bride of Christ. We are told that the groom has gone to prepare a place for us. That's Jesus who's gone to prepare a place for us. We're to wait for the groom to come back. As a bride, there were virgins, almost fell off, there were virgins that assisted her and were responsible to continue to watch for the bridegroom, because when the bridegroom was to come, they were to be ready and the announcement would be made, and they would run outside and they would light their lamps, because invariably the bridegroom would come when he got his house ready. He'd prepare a house, Jewish culture. I'm going to make a house and I have a place to bring my bride. Get it all set up, come back. He'd come back at midnight of all hours. Why can't you make it convenient? Why can't we know I'm coming at 3 o'clock on Sunday? Right? No, that's not how the bridegroom works. And so when it was announced that the groom was coming, there's these 10 virgins, and they're supposed to have their lamps ready to light the path. It's like the runway. Here he comes. Here's the runway. Here's the bride. Right? Now remember, this is a parable, so we can't take everything literal. But when Jesus comes, we need to be ready. And that's the picture. Some were ready. Some had oil in the lamps. Some had their wicks trimmed so the wick would burn bright. Others didn't have enough oil, and they weren't ready. So that's the context. So Matthew 25, 5 through 7 says, "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." Who all slumbered and slept? Was it just the 5 that didn't have enough oil? No, it was all 10 of them. Those that had enough and those that didn't have enough. They all slumbered. They all slept. And so, being that they all slumbered and that they all slept, what happened? They were held accountable for that, but the bridegroom came. And so, the cry was made, "Here comes the groom, go and meet him." And so let me read this again. "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, the cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps." So you and I, the challenge for us, one, is spend each day well for God. 2, don't sleep or slumber on your watch. That's why for a decade or more, whatever we've heard it proclaimed, church, wake up. Stop sleeping. Be awake. Be aware. Don't slumber. Don't take your eyes off of your assignment. Be on assignment. Be on point. Be clear cut about it. Know what you're supposed to do. Get out there and do it and let it honor God. That's what God wants. 3, love not the world. Simple, but is it not a reality that many, many, many people, and not excluding Christians, love the world? Yeah, absolutely. And we're challenged not to do that. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." There's a picture of the cruise liner and the battleship there. There's the one, when I think of a cruise liner, I think, I want service. I want top-notch service. I want a buffet of food. I want people to serve me. I want all the comforts I can get. That's what I like, right? That's what I want, right? That's the focus of being in love with the world. I want all I can get, all the comfort that I can have, all the privilege that I can attain. That's the picture here. But, it says, the world is passing away, right? It's temporary, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We're not saved by works, but what's being noted here is that as believers, we're going to live forever for God, and we need to serve him, and we need to be committed to him, and we need to gird up our loins, as the scripture says, tighten our belt, be strong, and be the people that God has called us to be. And fourth and lastly, be ready for the victory. Remember I said about the battleship, the rewards that come? Be ready for the victory. Matthew 24, 37 through 42, excuse me. "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two men will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. We do not know what hour the bridegroom is coming for the bride. Watch, therefore, be aware of what God would have us to do. One in the field, one left. Let's put that in modern contemporary times. Do you take this bride to be your lawful wedded wife? I do. Boink! And he's gone and she's standing there at the altar. Do you understand what I'm saying? God snatched the bride out. Or is snatching the church out. Snatching people out. Well, what about pilots on a plane? You're on a 747. And all of a sudden the pilots in the cockpit are gone. Well, the person next to you is now looking where you were sitting, and you're gone. What about astronauts? What about your doctors doing surgery, and all of a sudden he's gone and you're gone, and the team is watching what happened? You ever think about that, about the rapture? How horrific it's going to be when the rapture happens, the effect and the devastation that's going to happen on the world instantly when Christ snatches us up out of this world. But in the meantime, and I've alluded to it in previous messages, in the meantime, you and I are to keep our eyes on the mark of the bridegroom. We're to keep to the assignment that God gives us, whether small or great. If you don't know the assignment, know that you have this one assignment, as a new believer or otherwise, to be in love with Jesus, to share his love with others. That's your assignment. Okay? And then God will build on that and teach you how to teach you about other assignments that he has for you. We need to be working, watching, and waiting for our Lord's return. We need to watch for that day of victory. Off the battleship, on to victory. We're already conquerors in Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. He's already given us the victory. It's already a secured hope and promise. And one day we'll be enjoying it. Forever and ever and ever, and it will never lose its luster. Let's all stand, please. And just ask the Lord to bless that. Father, we are your children as believers in Jesus, your Son. We are saved by faith through grace in Jesus Christ. We're saved not by any works that we do, but because of all of the work that you, Jesus, did for us on the cross for us. You paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. When the Father looks at us, he looks at us as being absolutely clean, without spot, no problem, without sin, absolutely clean, because of the blood of Christ that cleansed us and removed all of our sin from us. Father, we have so much to be grateful for. We have such privilege in you. We have such a privilege of serving you and being your people. Father, one day each of us are going to be standing in heaven, and earth and our life on earth is going to have a different perspective. We're going to be standing before you in the reality of heaven and all that's there. And we're going to look at ourselves and our life on earth, and we're going to think, look how marvelous this is. Look at Jesus in front of us. And we're going to think, what did we do for you, Jesus, on earth? And I'm sure that all of us will say, it wasn't enough. Even though God will say to those who are faithful, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord, which the Father and I have prepared for you. What great victory we have in Jesus. Father, help us to be that faithful people, to stand in a world of darkness, to share our relationship that we have with Jesus, with those around us, to talk about Jesus in all of our conversations, that naturally you will come up, that we will not be afraid, that we will not stand with weak knees, but that we will stand bold because of our love for Jesus and Jesus' love for us. And I ask, Father, that you will accomplish your work. Now, Father, as people go out today from our church and churches around, Let us be bold for you. And for those that are engaging today in that rally, a freedom rally, but a prayer rally, I pray, Father, that for each one that attends there, that they will sense, and everybody else that's there, the very, very presence of you, that the community would go, wow, that was a God thing. For we ask these things for your glory, Father, not ours. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.